The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. Galatians chapter 4 is where we'll be bulk of our time. Man, you guys look great. Love having you guys in here. In fact, I'd love to do it every week, except that I love preaching for 50 minutes more than I love that. So it's a greater love that makes me not do this every weekend. So glad that you're here. Let's just get to work. On Friday, my son turned 6, and so we did the big birthday party. We all went bowling, and his buddies, he got to pick 12 buddies, good biblical discipleship number, and we all went bowling and ate pizza and just had a good time, and almost everyone got my son Legos. Now, Star Wars Legos, some sort of dinosaur Legos, pretty much everybody got him Legos, including us. Now, he loves them. His mom and I hate them, all right? And I'll tell you why. Because they're tiny, they get everywhere. You step on them, they make you angry. They get stuck in the vacuum. And so we got home from the bowling alley. I'm already a bit needing to breathe deeply, all right? I like to control things. And if you've got 12, 5, and 6-year-old boys, you're not controlling anything. And so I'd been managing chaos for a couple of hours. Don't do well with that. All right. I handled myself well. We got home. Reed's tearing into his presents. All right. Opening up all these Legos. Immediately, Star Wars are getting mixed with dinosaurs. And then there's frustration that we can't put it together. All right. I don't put stuff together. I can see the vision. I need others to come alongside of that vision and build it together. I don't help my son hardly at all in this case. Finally, it's just evident that everybody needs to go to bed, especially Daddy. And so we take our 3 up. Well, Nora's down. We take the older 2 up. We do the Bible study, pray a little prayer, blessing over, read. Everybody gets in bed. I come back downstairs and get in bed. Everything's shut down. And then the Spirit begins to kind of convict me, not kind of, convict me that earlier in the day, I had talked with my oldest daughter in a way that was a poor reflection of Christ's love for her and God's patience for her. And so the Spirit never does that in the morning when I wake up. And so there I am, comfortable under the blankets next to my extremely attractive wife. And I have to get out from those comforts. And I walk up the stairs. Knew Audrey was still awake because just 5 minutes earlier I'd gone, seriously, turn out the light. And so went upstairs, cuddled next to her and said, Boo, are you up? Yeah, I'm up. Hey, remember earlier today when Dad said this and did this? That was really uncalled for. That wasn't about you. That was about me. And I sinned against God and sinned against you. And I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And she's always very gracious and said, yeah, Dad, I'll forgive you. And then she asked me to cuddle. Now, as a parent, you know that there are times there are legitimate requests, and then there are times where you're simply being manipulated, all right? And what I have learned, particularly with my girls and me, is that most of the time, now not always, most of the time, stuff like that's straight manipulation, all right? And so my little manipulation alarm went off, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, Boo, anytime tomorrow you want to cuddle, you say it, I'll drop everything and we'll cuddle. For the record, there was no cuddle request on Saturday, okay? And so everybody's down. I've apologized. I'm coming down the steps, get to the landing, and I see out of the corner of my eye and a shadow on the floor of what appears to be someone running towards me. Now, I consider myself a manly man. And what I mean by that is there's sometimes, I'm gonna be straight with you, I want something to happen. Like, I want somebody to come at me, all right? There's sometimes in these weird scenarios where I hope that dude says something, where I want it to go bad, all right? Where I, like, been out with the kids, going for a walk, see somebody walking their dog. I want that dog to attack us. I'll rip it to pieces, all right? Been out camping. I want a bear to come at us, all right? I'll gouge its eyes out. I want that to happen. And what I learned Friday night at around 9:30 is that all of that is a false bravado. because I saw what appeared to be someone coming at me and a shadow of what appeared to be someone coming at me. And I literally hunkered down. And then I tried to scream, but my adrenaline had flooded so much into me, I could only make this noise. And then when I realized no one was coming at me, I looked up and there was a gift bag that had attached to it 4 balloons that the air conditioner was blowing. And so I went and, in shame, climbed back in bed, and Lauren said, "Did you say something?" No, I didn't say anything. So it struck me as odd that here, out of the corner of my eye and on this shadow, see, we have a little piano in our living room. It's got some electric stuff hooked up to it. I don't know, my wife's the artist. And that red light was pushing through and pitching a shadow on a floor that looked exactly like a man coming at me. But once I turned and looked at it, it was kind of funny, all right, if it wasn't so shameful. And, you know, hopefully nothing ever happens. My poor wife, I'd just been like taking a beating on the stairs. And so what struck me was how this looked so different than that. So what the shadow looked like and what was actually there weren't the same thing. Now, what we know from the Bible about God is that no one has actually ever seen God. We've seen the hem of his garment, but nobody's actually seen him. So what God gives us to communicate what he's like is shadows of his form. And so the shadows are how God communicates who he is and how he operates with us, who are men and women. And so I want to go through just a couple of those with you, and I'm going to spend the bulk of my time on the third one, but I want to give you a couple so we can kind of figure out who God is and what God looks like. And so in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. And this basically means that God changes us. He changes the way we look. He changes the way we think. He changes that there is nothing more powerful than him, nothing more aggressive than him, nothing more able to shape and bend to his will than God. My wife, and I don't know what your moms and dads are like or your spouse is like, but if it's under 72 degrees, my wife wants a fire. And so we have burnt, in my 9 years, we have burnt through probably a small national forest. And it's so often that we're burning fires at our house that in the last 5 years, since we moved right over here by the church, we've burned through 2 of those iron things that you put the wood on. Like literally it burned so much that it bent and broke 2 pieces of iron. So fire, it not only consumes, but it shapes and it changes and it moves. And God says, that's like me. I'm a consuming fire. Now, the second one I want to talk with you about is one of my favorites, and it's probably because I'm a boy, but Psalm 144:2 says, "He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge." So not only is God a consuming fire, but he is a refuge. He is a shield. He is a fortress. He is a castle. So not only does God change whatever he touches, but also he is, if we will run to him and run into him, he is our protector, he is our defender, and he is our provider. And this is one of the things we see about God in the Bible. I am your fortress. I am your shield. I am your protector. And then the last one, and by far the most common, in fact, thousands of times in the Bible, the picture that God is most painted with and the way that God has chosen to communicate himself to us most consistently is with the term Father. So God is a consuming fire. God is a fortress and a shield, a provider and a protector, but he is most often in the Bible simply called Father. Now, that's a tough one, and I want to tell you why that's a tough one. It's tough because all of us in this room, regardless of who you are, had imperfect men as fathers. And so what ends up happening to us is we'll look at the shadow and we'll think that the shadow is the form. And when that happens, we begin to believe that God is like our earthly father. And so if our earthly father, if our mommies and daddies, particularly our daddies, didn't have enough time for us or didn't want to bother with us or abandoned us or didn't care about us or didn't extend grace to us, then what we believe, if we're not careful about God, is that God is like our earthly daddies. And all earthly daddies are broken. And look at me. Some of you think I'm talking to your kids. And I'm not. I'm talking to you. See, what I run across is I run across 30 and 40-year-old men and women who won't run to God for help, won't run to God for love, won't run to God for mercy because their daddy just wanted them to do what they should do and leave them alone. And so since that's the shadow they saw, what they decided is, let me just do what I'm supposed to do and leave him alone, because they don't understand that the Father, the Heavenly Father, delights in his children, loves his children, never grows weary of his children. See, our earthly daddies, they're just a shadow. The picture, the form, is our Heavenly Father. Now, here's the best news that I'm going to be able to give anyone ever, regardless of age, regardless of weekend, regardless of day of the week. This consuming fire, this fortress, this shield, this protector, this provider, this infinite, all-powerful God, Father in heaven, longs to adopt us as sons and daughters and to correct and make right the shortcomings of our daddies, and to fill in where they have failed, both in them and in us. So let me show you how this works. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to pick it up in verse 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. Okay, let me try to explain this as easily as I can. You and me, all of us, regardless of age, regardless of background, regardless of color, we have one thing in common. Here's what it is. We are sinners. Let's do the work. All right, you ready? Kids, watch this one. Parents, any of you ever lied? Okay, notice that their hands are up. All right, kids, any of you ever lied? All right, now that's unanimous. Now, watch this. Parents, how many of you stole candy from your kids on Halloween? Come on, just do it. They know. They woke up, they're like, say, man, why is this so light? Where'd my peanut butter cups go? You know, right? So have you ever, all of us, have you ever taken something that's not yours? Let's go. Okay, so look around, guys. This is universal. So if we have all told lies, then we are all what? Liars. So we want to make it cute. We want to go, no, I'm not a liar. I just lie. Sometimes. And if we've all taken what's not ours, then we're what? We're thieves. Now we want to make it pretty. No, I'm not a thief. I just occasionally take stuff that's not mine. No, you're a thief. And I could go on and on and on with any of the Ten Commandments. I don't even need to get into the 600 breakdowns of the Ten Commandments. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room, a sinner. Now look right at me. And that sin blocks our adoption from the perfect Father. Now watch what happens next, because this is spectacular. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, you're a liar, I'm a liar, you're a thief, I'm a thief. All right, you worship other things besides God, I worship other things besides God. All of this is true, and so we're under the law and we're condemned. So Christ comes and he obeys all the rules. Like, he literally breaks no rules. He obeys all of them and says to us that if we'll believe in him, he will give us his goodness and take from us our badness or our rebellion. Now, here's what, look right at me. You've got to get this. Specifically for those of you who are younger and are growing up in church. Jesus did not come to bring you rules to be followed. Because you already know the rules and you can't keep them. How many of you know it's wrong to lie? But you still lied, right? So the problem wasn't that you didn't know the law. The problem was that you knew the law and broke it. Now, how many of you know you're not supposed to steal? Well, you knew it, but you did it anyway, right? So the problem's not the action. The problem's your heart. And so what you need is a new heart, not to do better at following the rules. And it's been my experience that most people with church background struggle with this idea. It's the difference between grace and an acknowledgement of what grace is and a belief that you can control your own salvation with your behavior. Now look at what happens, because we need a new heart and God's going to do just that. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when Jesus comes and He lives that perfect life, and then they nail Him to the cross, Jesus is taking on to Himself every lie, every bit of thievery, every bit of anger, every bit of rebellion, every bad thing you would ever do, ever, is absorbed by Jesus Christ on that cross like a sponge absorbs water until you are completely clean of all your badness. And then Christ replaces it with all his obedience to the rules. So that you get the best of Jesus and he takes from you the worst of you. And the Bible says in that moment the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and we cry out, Abba, Father. So my 8-year-old's heading in a certain direction. We're just hitting that age where I'm not the coolest man alive anymore. I had that for a few short years. But I'm already coming in second to some neighborhood girls now. I'm like, hey, boo, hey. You know, it wasn't like that always. It used to be I came home and, Daddy, and run right at me. And so I'm mourning that a bit. I hear it gets worse. But it is my biblical understanding that my job is to train her to not need me. That's my understanding of the Bible. I've got to train her to leave my house and marry some dude who better be legit, all right? I've already told you, I've got some issues. I want something to go wrong. Don't be that guy, all right? If you're in here, don't be that guy, all right? I'll still be able to take you. I know you're probably like 8 right now, but even when you're 20, I'll be waiting, all right? Now, ultimately, when I come home and my two youngest go, Daddy, and they run to me, or my oldest goes, Daddy, and they run to me, what they're revealing is that they have an affection for me and that they trust me and that they enjoy me and that they know I'm for their good. And so what he's describing in this text in Galatians is that after our sin is taken from us and we're given this sonship, we're adopted, that the heart change is we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father, which means we know he's for us, we know he loves us, we know he's made a way for us, so we pursue him rather than run from him, and that takes care of the bad stuff. The bad stuff doesn't get removed from your life because you try not to be bad. The bad stuff gets removed from your life when you find something that is more beautiful, lovely, and desirable than the bad stuff. And so when we come in here and we sing and we raise our hands and we pray and we open up the Bible, we're celebrating the fact that we're sons, we're daughters of who? The consuming fire, of the rock, the fortress, the shield, the castle. We are celebrating the fact that you are princes and princesses of God on high, that our brother is the Son of God in God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, that we are co-heirs with him, and that we will reign and rule with God forever. That is the kingdom we're invited into. So for any and all who will lower themselves and say, Jesus, help me. God, save me. I have sinned. I do what's wrong. I do what's bad. I'm not even sure why I do it. God, help me. The Bible says that he hears and he responds and he gives the spirit of adoption that transforms our hearts so that we cry out, Abba, Father. One of my favorite, one of the reasons I love compassion and one of the reasons I love our FAM ministry, Foster and Adoption Cares, there are few things on earth that really show what God has done for us in Christ than fostering, adopting, and on a smaller but legitimate level, sponsoring a kid through compassion. To give freely out of your abundance to someone who doesn't stand much of a shot outside of your intervention is one of the most beautiful pictures of God's saving grace that we have this side of heaven. So my hope for all of us today, regardless of age, regardless of background, is that by making the gospel message as simple as possible, you'll hear. And I'm not just talking to kids, and I'm not just talking to marrieds, and I'm not just talking about talking to those who have children. I'm talking to any and all who will hear. Spirit, give us ears to hear that God is in the adoption business and has fixed what was barricading our adoption as sons and daughters. And another hope is that you'd be gracious to your dad. He's just a shadow. I mean, I had to go apologize to an 8-year-old. I had to climb the stairs, get next to her bed, and after 20 years of following Christ and after years of being her daddy, go, I was an idiot again. Please forgive me. Daddy needs Jesus just like you need Jesus. Daddy sins against God just like you sin against God. Daddy has sinned against you just like you have sinned against others. But here's the good news, boo. The good news is that for all of us, forgiveness is available. For all of us who will lower ourselves and ask for mercy, God will extend it. My hope and prayer is that you'll lower yourself and cry out for mercy. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for these young men and women. These old men and women, children that are in here today, I ask that you would pour out in rich abundance, saving grace. That from young and old alike, you would call to yourself those who will love you and surrender to you. We thank you for those of us who have been adopted, who have been given a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. For those who know you are good and know you are gracious, we thank you and praise you. I pray for those who haven't quite understood the message or hadn't quite come to grips to exactly what it is, that maybe the simplicity of today would stir up their hearts towards you. We thank you for the energy and liveliness of these children and ask blessings on their lives. It's for your beautiful name. Amen. I love you guys.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church, located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about The Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.